Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Will. We'll be talking to Beryl Komar, a platinum master trainer, one of only two in the world. And we're just going to do our spotlight on, talk a little bit about various topics. And she's promised to do a really cool technique, which she'll talk about a little bit later. Because, again, it's just to get to know people, put the spotlight on them, and to bring new and interesting techniques, tips, and things to our world of NLP and hypnosis. So welcome, Miss Beryl. My first question to get us going is, how long have you been doing this and what got you interested in it? Because I've known you for, what, 20 years now, I think.
More than 20 years. We met, I think, in 1996 in Mumbai.
Yeah. In Mumbai, India. Yeah.
That's when I did NLP training with you. And before that, again in India and Bangalore, I met Bandla. And before that, I did a master's in applied linguistics at Reading University, and that's what got me really interested in NLP, because every time I said I wanted to do research on NLP, I got told, "Oh, it's not what we do. It's not scientific. Oh, no, you can't do that." And being the kind of person who, when people say, "No, you can't do that," I have to go and do it. So I did.
Okay. And well, how did you get involved with
84,
hypnosis?
There was one book then. Oh, hypnosis. Well, 1979, my last year at training college, we had a hypnotist come to talk about hypnosis. And I was really interested in using hypnosis. You know how you play a CD, but it wasn't CDs and tape, before you go to sleep? And you'll learn the language better. And I had to learn Swahili in order to go to Tanzania and Africa. So I thought that sounded cool. Once I got to Tanzania, I met some traveling Californian hippies who taught me transcendental meditation. I watched the Maasai doing their hypnotic dancing when they profit out and all sorts of things. Got involved with their social shamanic practices and things. And understand, you know, just always interested in, even as a child, I wanted to know which came first, thought or language, because you think without language, and language without thought. And I used to ask these amazing, stupid questions, everybody thought, but it wasn't. It was because I was really interested in what goes on here. So formal training wasn't sort of, until there was internet, it was very difficult to find out. Even when I did training with you, it was all letters going back and forth, you know, and telephone calls. It was weird, you know.
Oh yeah, we were talking
reading and playing around.
We were talking about that with someone else, that, like, because you know, I read a book in the 70s and started hypnotizing people, then military and other things. And when I got back into it in the early 80s, like you said, there was no internet. So it was like, where do you get information? There was no, you know, there were books and this and that. And back in the late 70s and early 80s, the only person doing hypnosis training was really like Gil Boyne and HMI. And unless you knew them, you didn't, there was no way. And, that's one reason NLP grew so much in the 80s, was because of the books, you know, Unlimited. Well, actually, it's Tony Robbins' packaged version of NLP, but that's made it explode. And it was easy to find an NLP training in the 80s. It was hard to find a hypnosis training. And in the old days, the hypnosis world and the NLP world did not like each other. You know, it was like, yeah, you know, when I first started doing NLP trainings at the Guild, people were like, "I'm surprised you're doing that here," you know. And so anyway, everything keeps changing. So now that, well, you've got a varied background. Tell us a little bit about, like, I know you do hypnodynamics, and I know you do emotional intelligence is one of your passions. So tell us a little bit about other trainings that you bring into it. How you look at the world.
And into my trainings.
Yeah.
Well, not being so visual, I guess I hear the world more. You know, I'm very much into hearing. Even things that I read, I'm very much into hearing it. And I read, I'm kind of what other things do I bring to this? So how do I see the world? I'm an optimist. I see differences between the American style of NLP NLP and hypnosis and the British, and then again the European as well. And then what I do all the way over here. So I was in a sort of one man's land for a long time, only hypnotist in the Middle East, the only person doing NLP trainings as well. And that was pretty lonely. Now I just see things changing. I haven't really evaluated it yet. Okay. I haven't really evaluated the changes because I change, we all change as we go through. So we're not even aware of the changes that are happening to us. That's self-awareness. Sometimes I'm so busy traveling, the only time I really have to sit back and do some self-awareness is a long flight. I'm looking for another one in a week's time when I go to Cyprus, so that'll be nice.
Oh, okay.
Everything's changing, and it's amazing. You know, I'll be 70 soon, and am I the same as I was at 69 on my last birthday, or one before? I just love that everything's changing.
Okay, and what are you really focusing on now, and your current passion of study? Is it EFT? Is it? I mean, I know you study everything, but just tell us, like your, because everybody focuses at different times on different things.
That's the thing nowadays, isn't it? You've got to have a niche. I'm very much a generalist. I don't know what's coming in the door next time somebody comes on. It could be somebody who's had problems with dog training with their golf or their broken heart. But when I find that there seems to be some trends, some things happening, then I'll focus on that. And one of the things that I developed here, because I had so many young girls coming, there are some guys as well, alone, on their own in the Middle East, on expatriate contracts, I developed the broken heart technique, which was something you had shared as a technique, which I then developed even more, and put a whole lot of NLP things and just compounding one another that I could do in one session. And in an hour and a half session, because these people are flying out tomorrow. They're flying all over the world. So they needed help very, very quickly. So I was doing that a lot at conventions. And then people were saying, we heard about it. Can you teach us? So I developed an e-course for that. I love that. I love the relationship work that I'm doing. Relationships are breaking down. And that also comes into the emotional intelligence work that I do, because the ultimate module of emotional intelligence is relationship management, and companies and corporations focus on it. Even my bank gives me a relationship manager, but they don't understand what emotional intelligence is. It starts with self-awareness. And then with that you can have self-management. Like Dr. Phil says, you can't manage what you don't acknowledge. So that's what we're doing with hypnotherapy. And then if you have self-awareness and you have self-management, you can have social awareness to understand how others feel, to have empathy. So I had a young man in yesterday whose ex-girlfriend had sent him because he was still breaking his heart over. So she's so socially aware, she wants him to come to me and help. Now that I've helped her with her broken heart and she's got rid of him in her mind, she wants him to get rid of her in his mind. So I love the relationship work that I do within emotional intelligence. That's part of what I do with dentists. You know, they found that dentists and doctors with high emotional intelligence get sued half the amount than those with low emotion, low emotional intelligence. So those with low emotional intelligence get sued twice as much, in other words. And that research is out there with the docs. And quite a lot of people are trained to be emotional intelligence coaches. They're getting on board, they're getting into the hospitals, they're getting into the dental clinics, they're getting to work with dentists and doctors on that. It's again the placebo effect. If you have a doctor or a dentist who's good with words, makes, is getting into rapport with you, gets to frames of NLP, is you're clear about your outcome, tells you what that outcome will be, agrees with it, checks on your ecology, and then uses the techniques. It's NLP, isn't it?
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. I remember reading they did a study with a doctor that was talking about what you were just talking about, but he basically stressed too, doctors that have high emotional intelligence and get the good rapport skills, like you said, the reason they're less likely to be sued is they were talking to a couple of his clients that he was a heart surgeon, and they die. People die in heart surgery. It just happens. And yeah. But they go, well, why would I sue him? He did the best he could.
That's
as
right.
Opposed to, then they went back to doctors that were getting sued a lot. They were technically, the guy said, technically better surgeons. But they were like, because they were arrogant, they didn't connect with their client. And of course, then when there's just an infection happens that that doc, you know what I mean? You were married to a doc. But it was that, it was that little bit of that connection. You know, because people can forgive even an honest mistake, you know, or we don't know what we don't know. But what my job, I forget who, I don't know if it wasn't you, it was somebody else, but they, saying I've adapted to myself and I try to get it to everybody else, which is I go where I'm appreciated, not where I'm tolerated. And if you feel appreciated, you're going to stay. And that's emotional intelligence. If people can make, because you know, it's all like all that research that people will take less money if they feel appreciated, you know, or 90% of the people will take less money. You always have 10 that they don't care. But anyway, cool. So emotional intelligence and this and that. And so what do you want to do next? I know it's in flux and all that, but yeah, we all have things we'd like to do.
Well, my book's now in 3 languages, Spanish, Arabic, and English. I'd like to spread the hypnodontics in Spanish more around the world, South America. My Spanish isn't good enough, so I'm looking for somebody who's keen on spreading the hypnodontics and emotional intelligence for dentists to South America.
Okay.
And train them. That would be a lot of fun. That would be great. I'm 70 soon. It's lifestyle change to I've got to say that every year. I'm going to spend less time in Dubai, and then I end up spending just as much time and traveling a lot as well. I do enjoy the traveling. You know, I'm very flexible. Whatever comes along. I used to make big plans. Now I don't. I just go with the flow, and I'm very, very flexible, which is, I think, since 65.
Okay.
It's been like that. And go with the flow. I enjoy going to the States in August, always. The National Guild of Hypnotists, HypnoThoughts, and seeing friends there. I feel very connected with the American side of hypnotherapy and NLP.
And it kind of segues into a question I always ask. You know, I know you go to conferences, you're always reading books, you're always taking, you know, classes online, things like that. So, you know, how important, just in general, for our field of hypnosis, NLP, all of our help people that we are, is continuing education? Because that's one of the missing ingredients. I always see people, they take a basic hypnosis or a basic NLP class, and you run into them 3 years later and say, what have you taken lately? Nothing. You know, they're still doing whatever they learned in the basic. It would be, you know, if you were a medical doctor, you would lose your license over that crap, you know, or a psychologist.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely. As that famous quote says, and it's always my last word to my students as they're graduating, is as soon as the certificate's on the wall, it's out of date. It's about what are you doing next? What are you working towards? I always put 10% of my income aside for my personal growth, my personal development. And they've always been very important to me. I was school principal, so I was required to make sure that my teachers were up to date, that we brought people in, and that we were conducting at least once a month in-service courses. It was, you didn't get onto the register with the Department of Education. So it's just, I go to the conference, I like going to hear the new people, and I like going up to them who've never spoken before and saying, that was good, that was great, I like that thing you said. I mean, even if they give one little tip, one thing, you can really build them up and make them feel good, because this is a very lonely profession. And it's a bit like when I was a teacher in schools. You're in your classroom with your kids, but you never get feedback from your kids. You really are this, yes, miss, yes, miss. I just go because I just feed off other people and ideas. And again, being flexible, it's keeping an open mind to that. Who was it said that your mind should be like an umbrella, open all the time?
Well, cool. Well,
I enjoy sharing. I'm teaching, I like that part of it. And people think that we get paid lots of money to go to conferences. They get shocked when they find out that we don't, that it's actually an expense. I said that to somebody recently, and they were shocked. They're really shocked. We all go because we love to give. We love to be there. And we love to learn, see what's happening.
Well, you know, I'll tie this into another field I'm at. I have to do CEUs as a psychologist, right? It's mandated. Mm-hmm. So you got to go to these things. And I heard a guy who's really famous, and he was talking about, because psychology is going through a lot of changes, and they're talking about changing the CEUs and all this stuff. And he said, well, the biggest thing about making people show, because you could do a lot online for your CEUs for psychology, but most states make you do at least like 16 or 20 hours in some kind of supervised setting. And he goes, and I never heard it put this way. He goes, because you need to be with, you know, like you said, it's a lonely profession, psychology, hypnosis, you know, you're working with your clients. He goes, and the people that don't come to these things lose their minds. And they start believing their own crap. You know, and I've always, you've heard me say, it's like, boy, when you only hang as an NLP or hypnosis, especially once you become a trainer, if you're only hanging out with your students, you've crossed the Rubicon. It gets very dark because, you know, you go to conferences and I see the people that are really doing things, you know, they go to the conferences just to hang out, like you say, to hear the new people. I remember last year, the year before at the NGH, some new guy was teaching something on a basic NLP. And I went in the room and I'm sitting there and a couple of people went, I'm surprised you're here. And I'm like, well, I might learn something. And I did. He had a different take. It was a young man. I'm like, this is pretty freaking cool, to use my language. You know, and I, like you said, I went up and did that. But it also lets us, you know, it keeps us open. And that's one reason we're doing these spotlights, to let people know that, you know, hey, you know, everything's changing. It's moving around. And you know, we do a technique. You would do a visual squash different than I would do a visual squash, different than like a Scott McFall would do a visual squash. It's the same basic technique, but each of us have our own spin, and one may fit better with other people than others. Cool.
Yeah, and I think it changes with every client. Yes, it does, because you're in different levels of rapport with that person. You're sensing that they're more auditory or kinesthetic or whatever. Some would accept you to touch, give a kinesthetic anchor, some will not. So every time that's you, we're changing with the clients, aren't we?
Oh yeah, that's what Erickson said. Yeah, you have to grow with your clients, you know. I think it was Erickson said that. So cool. So you're gonna, what technique do you want to demo? What's one of your favorite techniques? You were saying the spin.
Oh, the NLP spin. I've used it a couple of times a week for people who've had pain. And pain and is becoming quite a topic because, again, dentists, doctors, they don't want to cause pain. They're worried about the opioid epidemics. They're worried about over here in Dubai. I mean, if you have codeine, if you have any things that are not prescribed on you, it's 4 years in jail, no question asked.
Yeah.
I had some staff when I was head of a department at the university, and a staff who was caught at the airport with half a joint on his way through an American on his way through Amsterdam. So that was it, 4 years in jail. Until his mom came about 6 months later and went to see the state's wife and appealed to the mother because it was her only son, etc. And he was quietly allowed out of the country. But, you know, you're not, don't have those things in your possession here. They're so worried about people, addictions here. They don't want to go that Western route.
Right.
And again, there's lots of quotes in the Quran about almost every page has something about the brain on it, you know.
Okay.
Hold of a translation. Have a look. My favorite quote is early on, I've forgotten the story number, but it says, Allah gave you a brain, but it's up to you to learn how to use it.
Oh, cool. Cool.
And that's how I got NLP and hypnosis accepted in this country, by saying, no, I'm not doing therapy, I'm teaching people how to use their brain.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Right. So that's I got the economic department to see it the way they do. We're teaching people how to use their brain. I mean, it's obvious, isn't it? Anyway, right. The NLP spin. All right. So just in case there's anybody out there who's got a pain right now, shoulder, neck, back, knee, or whatever, take a deep breath, close your eyes, and I want you to focus in. Now, just go inside yourself. Whatever that means to you, just go inside yourself as you take the next breath. Focus in on that pain and that discomfort, where it is. Think about it. Yeah. You can move it up, you can move it down, you can move it up, you can make it very, very high, you can make it a 10 out of 10. But as you open your eyes now and look at me, what number is it?
7.
What number is it? Give it a number. It's a 7. Okay. And where is it located? Just take your hand and show me where it's located.
In my head.
Okay, show me with your hand. I want to see your hand there where it is.
Right.
Okay. Okay. If it had a color, I wonder what color that would be. First color comes to mind.
A burnt orange red.
Quickly.
Burnt orange red.
Cool. And is it large or small?
It's pretty big. Yeah, it's pretty big.
Okay. Okay, you know what? You could even make it bigger.
Okay. Yeah,
make that 7, 8. Make it even bigger. Oh, I mean, it's really bigger. And you know that you're in control of it. If you can make it bigger, you can take it back to the number it was. And I wonder why it's moving now. Yeah, I see your hand. Yeah. Is it moving forwards or sideways? How is it moving?
That's it's kind of like that. Yeah.
Okay. As it moves that way, come on, move it that way. Mm-hmm. Keep moving it that way. Yeah. I want you to give it to me. Give it to me. Put it in my hand here. Look at me on the screen and give it to me. All right. I've got it now. What color is it now?
It's more like a pink.
And what shade?
It's small.
And it's still moving.
Yeah, a little bit.
Still moving. Yeah, it's moving. Come on, move it with me. Move it with me. And I'm going to move it further away. And as it gets further away, come on, further away, further away. Your hand gets further away and it gets smaller and smaller in the distance. It gets smaller and smaller in the distance until it's gone. It's gone. Look at me. Look at my hand. And then move your eyes. Keep your head straight. Move your eyes. Follow my finger. 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 Now. What's your telephone number backwards?
1558.
Okay, it doesn't really matter. Take a deep breath and think of a happy time. That's right. You're laughing now. Think of a happy time, a nice time. A time alone, doing something you really love.
Okay.
You're lying in the grass, looking up at the clouds or something. You got that time?
Yep.
Is it a 10 out of 10 feeling?
Yep.
What color is that?
It's like a bluish with a little gold.
Oh, I like that. Keep moving your hands.
It's
like
a bluish with a little gold.
Okay. Now make that bigger and bigger. So it's like a bubble around you.
Okay.
Oh, it's spinning. A bit like when you throw a stone in a pond. Oh, those ripples get bigger and bigger. And feel that bluish feeling. Feel that bluish feeling. Feel that bluish feeling. And take a deep breath. And take it in. Watch my hand. And take it inside you. I'm giving it to you now. Take it inside you.
Okay.
Take it inside you. All right. And what's that telephone number backwards again?
1558 86.
All right, doesn't matter. Let it go. Let it go. Great state. Okay. Now I want you to find a point somewhere in the distance, middle distance, and look at that and say, I'm trying to feel the pain I used to feel. I'm trying to feel that.
I'm trying to feel
burnt orange feeling.
I'm trying to feel that burnt orange feeling.
That I used to have.
That I used to have.
I'm trying to feel that burnt orange I used to have.
I'm trying to feel that burnt orange feeling I used to have.
Burnt orange feeling I used to have.
That burnt orange feeling I used to have.
And where isn't it now?
It's not there.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Cool. All right.
Cool.
All right.
And I don't know how long that took, but not very long.
No, not long.
Sometimes you need to chase the pain, so it might go from there to the back of the head and be a yellow color and then to the neck. Or sometimes you've got to chase the pain all the way back to its origins, which is what happened with one lady last week who had shoulder pain. It went to the middle back and then it went to the lower back, sacral iliac, and then it was gone.
Okay.
So
all right. I'll have Christina do this later for her hand. Her hand has been bothering her. Cool.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
So there's just a whole lot of different NLP techniques there.
Right. Well, and the great thing about the video that people are watching, you can back it up, you can watch it again. How do people get in touch with you if they have a question? What's the easiest way to get in touch with you?
Beryl Comar, that's Comar at gmail.com.
Okay, I'll put that in the link so people, if they have a question, they can email you and they can find out where you're doing trainings. I know I'm going to see you in August twice. In Massachusetts and Las Vegas, it looks like, right? And
mm-hmm.
Busy couple weeks for a lot of us, right? We don't have that week off that we used to have.
I know, and just this last week, I got invited to a dental convention to teach hypnodentics in India, but it clashes with something I'm doing in Kuala Lumpur. You know, people don't realize our calendars get full months ahead, don't they? And my clients as well still need to do sessions with me on Skype or when I'm in town or wherever. It's fun. This growth is amazing, isn't it?
Right. Well, and that is, I think, the biggest growth we're seeing with the internet. Like you say, Skype, or we're doing this on Zoom. You can truly have an international practice. you know?
Yes.
And because you just like it, what is where you're at right now, I think is 8 hours difference than where I'm at, give or take.
Coming up to six.
Yeah.
Coming up to 6 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah. Yeah. The other night I did a call with somebody 10 o'clock my time because it was like early in the morning in India and he wanted to do something before he went to work. I said, sure, I'll do it. You know, I just turned off the TV. I was watching something and we went and did a session and he went to work and I, you know, did that. All right. So I'd like to thank you again, yeah. Beryl Komar, and the link is below. I got to learn to do this. The link is below. And, you know, if you want to shoot her an email, ask a question, find out her schedule, buy her book, Hypnodonics, which is a really good book. I've got it sitting over there. So again, get in touch if you have any questions. Beryl, do you have any closing remarks? I'm kind of locked up there. Okay.